Hello, everyone. This is Nick Rush, the media specialist of Mobius Connect, and today I am joined by Paul Daly of Sensitech. Paul, thank you for joining me.
Thanks very much, Nick. It's a pleasure to be here today.
We have a great conversation on the way, but before we dive into that, would you like to give an introduction of yourself and what you do with Sensitech?
Okay, well, I recently joined Sensitech as the APAC Regional Sales Manager. I've actually lived in Australia for the past 14 years, working on critical infrastructure projects in the energy market. So I know Australia quite well. Before traveling to Australia, I delivered many sort of cutting edge sensor technology products across the world. I've kind of got a blend background of mechanical, electrical, and electronics.
Okay, so we'll start with this question. What are some of the market sectors in Australia that embrace condition monitoring?
Okay, well, interesting question. Obviously, in my new role, that's something I've looked into recently. The Australian market, conservatively, is about 93 million Aussie dollars or 61 million US dollars this year. The biggest sectors are probably still the mining and general manufacturing, which wouldn't be a surprise. Mining still number one, but actually when I looked at it, seen it as 30%, I thought, is that really the share we'd expect? But it does actually indicate that the Australian market is quite diverse. We also have power generation there as number two, and then we have food and beverage as number three. Now, you might ask why these three? Well, in Australia, we pretty much got to cater for our own power needs. We're pretty much a big island. We're off-grid. We got widely distributed population, and because of that, you know, we invest a lot of effort into that infrastructure. You know, if we look at the investment recently in the Queensland government, which is one of the states, they're putting in a super grid. It's $162 billion over 10 years. They're looking at that zero net zero emissions, and what does that mean? More solar, more wind, bioenergy, hydro. All the sort of things that we get involved in from a conditioning monitoring. If we consider food and beverages, we do like to manufacture locally. We embrace the local manufacturing where it's feasible. And then outside that, if we look at the other areas, it's really the common areas that we see everywhere else. We've talked about mining resources. We've talked about energy utilities. We've got defense, aerospace. We've got pharmaceutical. Obviously, waste and water management. Oil and gas is a big sector, probably not as big as I thought it was going to be, but it's a very sort of established sector with regards to processes and technology. And then we have agricultural. And last but not least would be the buildings and the facility management, where we're looking at the HVAC systems, maybe in data centers and numerous, the critical infrastructure that we've got behind them. So there is quite a diverse range of infrastructure.
Yeah, definitely a few market sectors to choose from. What challenges does Australia face related to maintenance?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, as I mentioned, Australia is a huge landmass, and we've had the problem of isolation for decades. That hasn't changed. Now, if we're going to travel to the sites to do maintenance, it could mean 10 or 20 hours by car. It could be helicopter. We have to barge equipment to sites. Actually, the logistics of getting to sites is quite difficult. That with itself pulls in a bit of a safety element. You know, we've got to ensure that the personnel, you know, not in a hazardous situation. Communication in these remote areas is quite bad. So we've got to use sat phones, vehicle tracking, etc. So it is quite intense looking at maintenance as we look at the cover for Australia. You know, we also do have quite an aging infrastructure, whether that be power and water, energy, telecommunications, and that outdated equipment also comes at very costly upgrades. Now, I guess another thing that we should mention is the extreme weather. Now, Australia is such a big island. You know, we've got tropical climates up north. We've got turbulent extremities of the fire season and also the flood season. And all those combined can create devastation to the infrastructure. Obviously, with those sort of events, what they generally do is they take away approved financial spend or resources into reactive situations. And then that impacts sort of general maintenance as well, you know, as we look at the bigger picture. Obviously, as well, Because we are remote from the rest of the world, we're very dependent on overseas manufacturing for certain equipment. And that means that the sea freight plays a very important role. If we take air freight for a typical component, it could be 10 or 100 times more expensive, or 100 times the value of the component. So we do have to plan ahead. We do need to make informed decisions about what we need. If we're buying product from Europe, it can take 6 months from sea. If we're buying it even from Asia, it could take 4 to 8 weeks. So the maintenance teams really need to have as much information and be ahead of the game. If we look at maybe a skill set of things, definitely that there's a skill shortage. We don't have a lot of VCAT roles. There's not in this specialist condition monitoring area, and that does play a factor for us when we're looking at maintenance. But last but not least, we should mention the wildlife. Everybody's familiar with the wildlife that we've got in Australia. We've got the little cuddly koalas, we've got the kangaroos, which are kind of harmless, but there's 50 million kangaroos in Australia. We've also got, a population over 1 million wild camels in the desert. And that in itself plays into the logistics of getting places, roadkill, and being out in those areas, whether it be personnel or vehicles, and it do happen quite frequently, so we have to be careful. We also add in, when we get to site in the rural, even the urban areas, we've got lots of deadly creatures, whether it be snakes, things that can bite you. So pest management actually comes into maintenance quite a bit. So joking aside, it does, there are lots of little things quirky about Australia that make that maintenance, even just attending site, quite challenging.
Very good, Paul. So we get to talk a little bit about machinery. What type of machines need monitored, would you say?
Look, I think if we look at Australia and compare it to some of the other locations in the world, I think really it's pretty much the same. We have quite a varied market. It's the rotating equipment, the pumps and motors, gearboxes, transmission, obviously bearings and shafts. If we look at the renewables market, we've got the hydro energy, we've got the turbines. If we consider HVAC, we've got the heating systems and cooling systems, as well as the electrical, the hydraulics. Transportation side of things, we've got air, free, sea, freight, and they all have that condition monitoring element, with regards, whether it be safety, efficiency, or utilizing production. So everything that shakes or rotates. We also, when we consider Australia, as I mentioned before, we're very reliant on that import export. If we look at the locomotives and the road trains, they're critical. If we look at the shipyards and the ports, they're also pretty critical. The cranes and the ports, they're working 24/7. We've seen that recently, obviously during COVID and post-COVID, we had union strikes, we've had the Suez Canal problems as well, and all that affects getting the maintenance parts and components that we need. So hence that we do need to be very well informed. We do need to plan in advance, because reactive situations can be very, very costly in Australia. So we've got to monitor quite a lot of different and varied equipment.
With that being said, what's the current experience level of maintenance teams related to condition monitoring?
Okay, well, I think it's probably a good time to mention that in Australia, we refer to condition monitoring as CONMON. The Australians like to abbreviate all words, so CONMON's quite a common phrase. And the CONMON practices in Australia, I think there's a lot of legacy. It's been around for a long time. The traditional methods are well proven or well known, and the tools are familiar. But we do have a limited pool of experts. But it's still, from my review, it still does vary from sector to sector. If we look at typically the oil and gas industry, or the energy industry, or the mining, they're quite well established. They've got advanced technologies, they've got specialized training, specialized people, and specialized processes. If we look more so at the manufacturing or maybe heavy industry, it's different. Large operations maybe have robust practices, smaller ones possibly developing. And some industries even still focus on that preventative maintenance rather than predictive strategies. And then at the other end of the spectrum, we've got transport and logistics. Well, they have moderate experience depending on where they are. Obviously, the utilities with regards to wastewater, their monitoring technologies are obviously, looking at the conditioning as well. Agriculture is a big area here, and it's probably generally low at the moment, but there is appetite for condition monitoring and maintenance within agriculture for the pumps or heating and cooling, etc. So there definitely is a trend towards adopting condition monitoring where feasible.
So it brings up a good question here. From your experience, what are the perceived challenges for the condition monitoring market in Australia?
Okay, well, I think like a lot of industries, talent retention and knowledge loss are probably two of the big things with regards to condition monitoring. We've got a lot of experts in this area. It's a very expertise field. We've seen this exaggerated after the COVID sort of pandemic, where there was an unsettlement in the workforce generally. So we do have a lack of trained professionals that can look at the condition monitoring data and analyze it. Obviously, if we're looking at more advanced technology, there's a lot more data. Integration becomes more complex. So that becomes challenging in itself. I think even the technology adoption has been a bit slow because of these things, maybe a lack of awareness, lack of understanding, or maybe just the benefits of condition monitoring. So technology also brings that degree of phobia to people. The time to time, we're sort of concerned about whether it fits in, whether we can fit in with the technology. And even with new technology, just that amount of data again, it can be quite overwhelming. As I also mentioned, if we look at the market in Australia, that geographical isolation plays a big part. The distances between the assets is quite huge. Even to know if a machine is on or off thousands of kilometers away or what speed it's running at can be quite challenging if we don't have the connectivity. So these play quite important factors.
We'll keep talking a little bit about perceived challenges. What are some of the challenges with technology adoption?
Okay, well, as I just mentioned, there is generally, I think, sometimes a bit of an apprehension about technology, how we change from the legacy methods that work quite well, tried and tested. But we also got to remember that technology is there to assist the clients and the specialists. The more that we can embrace technology, the more these limited experts are available to focus on more critical activities. If we consider the world that we live in today, the Internet of Things, it's much faster and more integrated than it was 5 and 10 years ago. So these experts all of a sudden should have more time to review critical activities. And because of that connectivity, we can have an expert in the US reviewing live data from Australia while we sleep and making recommendations overnight on what we should do when we wake up and have a breakfast. And that's the kind of the environment that we're in now with the technology. We've seen, if we look at the adoption, I guess small companies maybe are more risk averse and keen to embrace technology. Not to say that larger companies don't want it, but they have more barriers, whether it be cybersecurity, data protection, the integration into the legacy control system and the disruption that that might cause, the risk factor. And they also have multiple management levels and stakeholders trying to sign off on the decisions. So justifying the ROI can be quite challenging. Even if we look at that technology adoption again and we consider the skills gap, that lack of skilled people in these areas also plays into that sort of apprehension. But all that said, the technology companies, whether it be handheld, whether it be wired, or whether it be wireless, they're all working continuously to ensure that the products that we have on the market are there to answer these challenges.
We get to talk about some positives now. What benefits can wireless condition monitoring solutions provide?
Okay, so I try not to be too biased here because, in my opinion, there's a long list, but let's just focus on a few. Now, obviously, with wireless, there's a reduced installation cost. We eliminate the needs for extension wiring, all the mops, all the paperwork that's got to go in to putting that equipment on site and the teams involved. It's got a complexity. Also, with wireless, we've got that flexibility and scalability, which is a little simpler because it doesn't have the wires effectively. So we can deploy it in various locations. We can deploy it in remote locations, and we actually can scale up quite quickly and quite easily on the systems and platforms that are available. The other thing with wireless is it's real-time data. We've gone away from that legacy situation where we're traveling to site, doing a measurement every 2 months or 6 months. We don't know if the measurement is at peak load, is it a typical load, and there's a delay reviewing the data. We've now got real-time data. It could be every minute. Time we have forms every 12 hours, 24 hours. So we've got a lot of information to try and look at the trends and analyze and make informed decisions. The other factor when considering wireless is just really monitoring those high risk situations or hazardous situations where we don't want people. It could even be remote as well. So we've got the improved safety aspect. We're not having to get machines shut off. We're not having to be behind safety barriers. The whole enhanced mobility and application of the equipment, it can be quite different. Obviously, it allows broader coverage. We can apply more sensors to an area because it's easier. So we can monitor more areas of the machine itself. From a maintenance aspect, I guess we don't have the same overhaul where because we're looking at the wiring, the cleaning of the equipment, the connections. We don't have that factor. So all of a sudden, we've got a lot more maintenance time and resources to spend on critical activities that we need to do. And then I guess circling back on that data side, we've got a lot more data. We've got dashboards to help people that aren't experts. We've got dashboards that will drill down to that finite detail that the experts need as well. So it's for all user levels, and that's what the technology is there for, to try and help. It's giving real-time alerts, notifications, all that information is to make the people at the plant more informed so that they can make an informed decision well before the incident is actually imminent. I guess also then, last but not least, would be the automated intelligence features. Obviously, we've got those features coming through the market now, whether it be the sophisticated data analysis, machine learning models, and the optimization maintenance strategies that we can do with that information. So that's all critical. It's a very, I guess, technology-driven market where we're looking to assist the clients and the experts.
So, with these benefits in mind, what is the ROI?
Well, the value proposition, I think, for wireless is very different to conventional. Even with conventional, we'll still have critical points within an existing plant, the failure points. Not all facilities can have an N plus one strategy. So there's often that single point of failure. Typically, one downtime event can cost thousands. If we look at a typical wireless system, regardless of what sector it's in, we could actually get payback within a couple of months by just identifying one significant event. If we get that payback in that time, we've also then got to remember that the system typically has a 5 or 10 year life. So after we get the ROI, we've got this whole cost avoidance scenario, which equates to a lot larger than the initial investment. So it does stack up. Yeah, if we look at the immediate scenario when we install a condition monitoring, we've also got lower installation costs because we don't have the complexity. We've got a decreased maintenance cost to the team. We've got improved safety because people aren't any close to equipment. Hopefully improved efficiency because we're making sure that we react quicker to information and reduce the downtime. And we've also got reduced labor costs because we're not as focused with that installation and that maintenance of the equipment itself. So the experts and the maintenance team can focus on their critical task. If we look at, I guess, longer term, we should have increased productivity because we're more informed. We should have equipment that lasts longer because we're not getting to that critical fail. We are actually addressing things as they go along. And then the side benefits are we've also got a lot more data. So the more data we have, the more we can analyze. And also then we can scale up the systems quite quickly as well with, so it does, it's full circle with the equipment itself and the benefits.
So we know what customers are looking for. It can depend on their location. What are customers looking for in Australia?
Look, I think in my opinion, there's still a big focus within Australia of that in-country support. Face-to-face engagement ranks quite highly. We've seen that during the COVID pandemic where the borders were closed, even within Australia, travel was restricted. It had a big impact on procurement decisions and project feasibility discussions. So they do like that interface with people. Obviously, reliability plays a big factor. They want an accurate and consistent data. They want a system that's easy to integrate and works well with the current systems. They also want a credible partner and product that's in the market. They like the flexibility of tailored solutions that support their needs, but they also want a standard solution. So they don't want a bespoke system that could have future upkeep issues or upskilling growth issues. So that's very important. If we look back on the earlier decision about and discussion, the decision about cost-effective ROI is an important factor. User-friendly interfaces, the real-time data is obviously really important. The remote access is a big factor within Australia because of the geography, and that advanced analytics that we've got as well. Last but not least, in Australia, we've got a lot of regulatory compliance. There's numerous Australia standards with regards to products, installations, and everything else. It is quite a complex nature in Australia, so the customers are obviously looking for that compliance side of the product as well.
With all these things in mind, what would a client consider when seeking to use or evaluate a wireless condition monitoring system?
Okay, well, look, it's a good question. I think we've got to, as I guess consumers in any market, it's like buying a car, a TV, or a smartphone. We've really got to do a research, whether it be a desktop study or benchmarking or even reviewing tangible case studies. We do know very well that what's written down and what's on the internet doesn't necessarily transpire to what happens in practice. So one of the questions to any client would be, what is it they're trying to do? Have they got a CapEx model? Is it an operating model? Is it a split of CapEx and OpEx? This can dictate how they review their valuation or the return of investment. They're going to look at, is there any ongoing costs? With battery technology and obviously it being wireless, it is pretty key that the battery design life is real. So what variables have been taken into account to get this battery life? Does the transmission protocol naturally consume battery energy? And will the product independently and robustly transmit over a long range in an industrial environment? Is even the battery replaceable? If we look at the sensors themselves, they have to be quite small. They need to be balanced. They need to be light so they don't affect the vibration profile. Do they have technology inbuilt that will put them into a sleep or awake state to conserve battery energy? And if we look at the environments, particularly within Australia, we've got negative environments, we've got warm environments, we've got humidity, the same as the rest of Asia as well. If we look at the mine environments, they're very harsh and harsh and dirty. Is the sensor actually designed to withstand that environment? Is it proven? If we look at the oil and gas, typically they require IECEx, which some products will have, but what zone is it certified to? There's a big difference between zone zero, zone one, and zone two. The product FMAX is very important, the same as a handheld tool. If the FMAX isn't high enough, is the product really going to predict failures? Or is it going to tell you that there's imminent failure, there's a noise floor there? Well, that doesn't really help the end user. And then if we look at the system itself, can it be integrated? Is it easily scalable? Is there local support from a technical point of view for the product? And then even how are we going to buy the product? Are we buying directly from the end producer? Is it from a local vendor? Does the vendor or the producer also make other products? If they do, what's their primary focus? Is it sensing? Is it something else? So we've got to look at all these things. Does even the product supplier have a robust roadmap? Do they support their legacy products? Even if there's a distributor network, does the distributor, has he always distributed that product? If he hasn't, what did he used to distribute? And why has he changed? If he'll tell you. So there's lots of questions. I mean, it's like any consumer sort of evaluation. You just really need to understand if what you've been told or if what you have access to, does it make sense? Is it tangible and credible?
Well, Paul, it's been a great conversation with you. Are there any final remarks that you would like to give to wrap things up?
I guess in summary, look, condition monitoring, it's not a new space in Australia. It's been around for a long time. It plays a very vital role in all the high operational standards across the various sectors. And we do have quite a diverse sector. It's not just mining, which a lot of people think about. The customers are all looking for solutions that are cost effective. There's a strong review of that return on investment. They want it to be user friendly. They want the maintenance strategies to be easier. They want to reduce operational risk. And ultimately, they just want to improve the overall efficiency. So it is definitely a big market. It's definitely an established, but also a growing market.
Our listeners are always welcome to leave a comment if they have any questions, but is there a way they could reach out to inquire about anything we talked about today?
Look, the easiest thing would be to go to our website at sensitech.com. You can connect with any of our users, our salespeople. Anywhere in the world, you can book a call, book a Teams call, and we'll go through the products, the market, technology, whatever you'd like to discuss. More than happy to discuss it.
All right. Thank you again, Paul, for your time. It was great getting to talk to you, and hopefully we're able to do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Nick, and appreciate your time at Lotus.